All right, let's open this morning with a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we again, Lord, just praise your name for just you being so holy and yet sending a Savior for us, for sinners like us. And God, we thank you for that. And this morning, Lord, as we get into your word, I just pray, God, that you would speak to us. Use your word to guide our ways so that we can turn those back to you for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you've been following along, we've been doing Joshua. I didn't do the entire book of Joshua. We've kind of skipped around a little bit, but I've hit some of the major points of Joshua. So I can't recap it all because we're so far into it now. Here's what you need to know, though. They came into the promised land. They crossed the Jordan. Jericho walls fell, and now they were chasing some of their enemies. Joshua prayed a prayer. The sun stood still, which was just amazing that the sun stood still. And that was so that the battle could continue, because if not, then the people would escape. But they were victorious in that battle for God, and God actually intervened, and he fought in that battle. And then, so we're progressing on, and then there's this big lull, basically, between chapter 10 to 14 and 15, where the kind of the land's getting divided up, all right? And that's what I want you to know. We're to the point, you know, they're in the promised land, and now stuff's starting to get done. You know, they're like, okay, this was your land, and this one's your land. And we're going to pick up in 14, and we're going to look at a guy named Caleb. I know the book's name is Joshua, but we're going to look at Caleb. So we're going to be in Joshua chapter 14. Before we get to the scripture, though, let me ask you, can you remember a time in your life when you wanted something so badly that's literally all you could focus on? That's just, it consumed you for a little while. And I've always been told, you know, if you want to buy something, if you really want something really bad, wait a week. And then if you still want it that bad, go buy it, right? Because you definitely want it. But if it kind of loses its luster, you know, or kind of loses that wow factor, then perhaps it wouldn't be a wise choice to buy, right? But I want to talk to you about a guy that waited more than a week. A week to me seems like a very long time. In 7 days, I can't imagine how many different things could change. And I even showed you a little illustration from our lives. 7 days, we didn't even know we were going to be trying to buy a home, and now we're already pretty far into that process. So a lot can happen in 7 days. Now imagine 7 years, but the guy we're looking at waited 45 years, okay? And that's Caleb. And so we're going to pick up in verse 6, and we're going to read down some. And yeah, the PowerPoint's working. So it's up on the screens if you don't have your Bibles. It says, "Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in the Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God."'" I'm going to stop there. I want you to see a couple things. The first one is, when Moses sent out his spies, and you can find that in Numbers. But when Moses sent out his spies, he sent out 12 of them, one from each tribe. And then two of them come back, and you know, you guys know this. Two of them come back and say, "Yes, we can take the land." The other 10 do not. Caleb and Joshua were the two that said, "Yes, we can take this land." Okay, so Caleb, he's saying, "I was 40 years old when Moses sent me out." All right, so he was 40 years old, and I'm not 40 yet. So that just, it's kind of, I know some of you are, but I'm not yet. And so I'm just trying to wrap my mind around, okay, he's 40 and he's a spy, you know. And when I think of spies, I think of my kids playing out in the yard, you know. And they'll go and they'll run and they'll hide and then they'll hop out and then they'll, they'll attack someone. But very, very agile, very, very just young at heart, right? So Caleb says, I was 40 years old. Moses sent me out, and I returned what was in my heart. And two, the next thing I want you to see, twice, from verse 8, 8 says it, and 9 also says it, I wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, holy in this aspect is not H-O-L-Y, it's W-H-O-L-L-Y, so holy, like entirely, completely. Completely followed the Lord his God. This is going to be important. And I told you, the repetition also will show you that it is important. But I want you to see that. And then in verse 9, I love this. It just this is why he gets the inheritance. Moses tells him he gets an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. If someone promised me the land that my foot had trodden, or where I have walked, right? If someone says, hey, you're going to have that land, I would expect that to come to fruition fairly quickly. I would expect to get that within the next month, 2 months, 3 months. Certainly not an extended period of time, right? Because Moses says, and he's speaking for the Lord, he says, you have wholly followed the Lord your God, you and your descendants will inherit this land. So I feel like there's an anticipation inside Caleb when he's given this promise. I feel like he's excited and encouraged by that. And then, you know, and I've hit on this a lot, they went in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, remember, he wanted something fairly badly, right? And then they're out in the wilderness for 40 years. And I just wonder what his mindset was like while he was out there. I wonder, did Caleb ever lose focus? Do you think he ever just kind of was like, I forgot about that land. There's other things going on. I don't know, but we're about to find out. I do want to tell you, though, there was a song that we sang just a second ago right before communion, and I had to walk out real fast because I didn't have a pen with me, and I had to jot something down. Caleb knew what you and I know. God is faithful forever. God is faithful forever. God made a promise to Caleb, and even though it didn't happen necessarily as fast as a man might want it to happen, and I don't know, I'm speaking for Caleb, and I didn't know him, but I know human emotions, and I expect kind of things that to go a certain way, and I imagine that he would too. But I think in the back of his mind, as they're traveling through this wilderness, he has this promise in his mind. Just as Abraham had a promise in his mind that he would be fruitful, that he would have so many descendants you couldn't number them. It takes time for that to happen. In our humanity, we get a little rushed, we get a little excited, we get a little overzealous even, trying to seek after God's promise. As we go through today, I want you to think about, what has God promised you? God promised Caleb an inheritance. He promised you also an inheritance. Paul, one of my favorite writers, he almost has to be because he wrote the majority of the New Testament, but he speaks in great length about this inheritance that we have, and we share an inheritance with Jesus Christ, the one and only Son of God. We share that inheritance. We become in His family. But you have to wait just a little bit, right? There's just a little bit of time here on this earth. But I want you to keep in the back of your mind always that God is faithful forever. He will come through on that promise. Let's look at 10. This is Caleb still speaking. He says, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. Well, if you were to stop right there, I would sound discouraged. I'm 85 years old. Some of you are getting close to that. Others of you have family members that are there. I can't wrap my mind around being 85, still looking forward to this promise. But he doesn't stop. He keeps going. me find where I was. I'm 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then for war, for going and coming. And so now give me this hill country. Or some of you might say, so now give me this mountaintop of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day now that the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out just as the Lord had said. He says, I'm 85 years old, but I'm still pretty strong. I'm pretty vibrant still. I'm every bit as good as I was when he sent me out as a spy. Do you feel that way ever? Do you just, the old saying is, you're as old as you feel. When you think about being in the Lord, do you feel just kind of young and just excitable and just this freshness? I do, and I want to share that with people. I want you to understand that when God promises you something, there's this fire that gets inside of me, and I just get all excited. I'm just like, wow, even if your body is dying and it's getting old, it's just a shell because your spirit is what's important, and your spirit is young, your spirit is vibrant, your spirit is excited. Just as Caleb, but now it almost sounds like Caleb's bragging, doesn't it? God kept me alive for 45 more years. I'm still as strong as I was. He is. He's bragging on the Lord. He doesn't say, I did this. He says, God kept me alive. I'm still as strong as I was. I am going to go defeat these people, the Anakim. So give me this mountain. And he's talking to Joshua. And Joshua, there's a reason, because Joshua has the ability to set up the land, right? To dissect the land for the people, for their inheritance. And Caleb specifically goes to him. And do you ever wonder why he says, I want that land? It's a hill. It's a mountain. I mean, it's literally a mountain of the Hebron. It's big. And y'all like climbing mountains? You like having your livestock on mountains and you're trying to get your pastures out and everything? It would just be a whole lot easier if it wasn't a mountain. Okay, but he says, give me this mountain. And he says it specifically, and I don't want to give away too much, but there's a reason he says, I want that particular place. And I told you last week about being able to pray a bold prayer because Joshua says, I want that sun to stand still because we got to do something. And now Caleb comes to Joshua and he says, I want that mountain. I want that mountain. Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, the name of the Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. So he gave it to him. I just pictured just two old buddies talking, right? Because Joshua and Caleb, they were spies. They were the only two. They had something in common. They were the only two that came back. And, it sounds heated. That was my inflection. I try to put some spirit into the word. But, he says to him, give me that mountain. Give me that mountain. What was on that mountain? You heard me say the Anakim or Amalekites, giants. That's what I want you to know. There's giants on that mountain. And can you remember the story when the spies came back? What the other 10 said to dishearten the entire world or the entire nation of Israel? They came back and they said, "Surely that land does flow with milk and honey. We can't take it. There's giants up there. The people are big. The cities are fortified. The people are big. The cities are fortified. We can't do it." Joshua takes a fortified city by walking around it. And then now Caleb sees that and he says, the big people, those are mine. I have a point to prove for the Lord. And he does. he has a point that he needs to show the rest of the Israelites. Now, all of the people that were spies before had passed away, but their family members were still there, right? You know, they'd had offspring, and their family members are there, and surely they have heard about the spies going out and saying, no, we can't do it. And surely they've heard the story now that they've come back, and they have seen for their own eyes the walls of Jericho fall. They've seen with their own eyes the hailstones falling down and crushing the people as the sun stood still. And now Caleb, with this burning, with this yearning, for 45 years, he has thought of one thing. Give me that mountain. That is my mountain. And do you think he wanted it for him? Because I told you it's a mountain and his descendants are going to have to live there. And it's probably going to be a little bit tough agriculturally. I think he wanted it for the Lord. I think he wanted this win, this victory for the Lord. So we're going to jump over to 15, okay? I think I started in 14. It says, and Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Iman, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak. And he went up from there against the inhabitants of Debir. Now the name of Debir formerly was Kirath Sefer. And Caleb said, whoever strikes Kirath Sefer and captures it, to him will I give Akshah, my daughter, as wife. So Caleb does. He takes the mountain. Remember Joshua blessed him and he said he could have it. So now Caleb Caleb takes the mountain. He drives out all the kings, the sons of Anak. And then he comes up and he says out loud, whoever helps me capture, whoever captures this land themselves, I will give you my daughter as wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, captured it. And he gave him Akshah, his daughter, as wife. So there are victories coming. It's a little weird, isn't it? Uncle husband? It's just weird. It's okay to acknowledge it. Right? But that's just how kind of things were done. But still, I want you to see that things are rolling for Caleb. He's winning battles, he's winning victories, and he is taking over some land. And now he has people and a son-in-law to help fight with him. And he gave him his daughter as a wife. So I want to look, where's 18. Oh, wait, no, 17. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, captured and get his brother's wife. When she came to him, she urged him to ask her father for a field. And she got off her donkey, and Caleb said to her, what do you want? She said to him, give me a blessing, since you have given me the land of the Negev. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and lower springs. So now Caleb is being able to take his land and start to divide it between his descendants. I like the daughter. The daughter kind of makes me smile. The daughter, when I think of the daughter, I think of boldness, right? Because she was just married. You got to understand the culture, but women just did not do what she did. You know, you don't just roll up on your donkey and hop off and say, Dad, give me something, right? But she had just said to her husband, hey, ask Dad for a field. And there's like a comma, and then she just did it herself. Right, so she just kind of, okay, fine, you're not going to, I'm going to do it. So she goes to him with this boldness, She just gets off her donkey and says, hey, you've given us this land, but we need springs. Can we have some more? So he does. He gives it to her. It makes me think of the boldness of maybe Esther, right? Because Esther, she went to the king. And that was a scary time. I want you to see here that a family of faith is starting to rise. Caleb is kind of the patriarch now of what we're looking at, right? Caleb is his patriarch of his family. He's got his daughter married, and she has this boldness about her to come up. And she has a husband who has also been with the faith. And I just want to read that. I have this note jotted down in my Bible. We too, like Caleb, Othniel, and Ishah, are a part of a faith-filled family of God's people throughout the ages. Examples of faith are found in the pages of the Bible as well as among the mature men and women in our churches. For our children and theirs, you and I are the exemplars of faith. We are the ones who need to take hold of God with a tenacious boldness and not let go, that we might raise up children in the faith after us. Caleb's been raising this daughter for a while. Now she's married off. And she's going to go and she's going to have offspring. And she's going to be able to teach them about her dad, their grandpa. Grandpa was faithful for 45 years, so wholly faithful to the Lord, and has been blessed because of it. And what a great example that is. And I want to go back to Caleb, though. What about his example? Everyone knew that Moses promised him that land, right? Everyone knew that. And then they're out in the wilderness and they're wandering around. And maybe they've forgotten, but Caleb didn't. But he still wholly followed the Lord the entire time. That would have been tough. Just completely honest, that would be tough. I can't imagine how many things I've been so focused on in my life in just 35 years that I have forgotten so many of the other ones. But Caleb didn't. He remained completely faithful, wholly faithful to the Lord, our God, as he followed him. And through that following, being faithfulness to the Lord, he had this example that he showed to people. And that's what Christianity is all about, is about our example, how we represent the Lord. At least that's what it's about to anyone looking at the church, right? Anyone looking at God will look to his people to see about their God. Does that make sense to you, what I'm saying? If I want to know something about a company, I will look to the workers of the company and see, how are they? Do they have integrity? Do they have honesty? Are they a little sketchy? Because I might not want to deal with that company if they have some discrepancies, right? And so that's how we also, our examples, that's how we represent the Lord as we go out into our workplaces, or we go out to wherever you go, Sam's or Walmart or whatever it is. That's us. We example that through the good and the bad. It's just like raising children. You have no idea how much more they watch you than listen to you. Such as is true with the community. You have no idea how much more they're watching our actions than hearing our words. You can say the words, "I love you," but have gritted teeth, and it doesn't sound like you love me. I love you. Can't you tell? Right? And just honestly, this, I didn't know I was going to go there, but honestly, that's really what the world's hearing right now from a whole lot of Christians. And I hope that we can change that stigma for God, and we can take oppression well, if that makes sense. I hope that we can live through grace. We can take it the way Jesus did. We can shake the dust off and continue on as we follow him. All right, I just want to leave you with one more scripture. We're going to Hebrews. Hebrews 12. I'm reading 1 through 2a, basically. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Guys, we always have an example to follow. We have this book, and if we know it well, we have someone to look to in almost every circumstance of your life of how to react. We can either learn from their mistakes, or we can learn from how they did it well. But either way, you can use this tool, this book, as a learning tool. Let us follow the example set before and around us in Christ Jesus, so that as we finish our journeys, as we finish our lives, others may use our examples to grow in faith. As a family, as a church family, we can use each other's examples to grow in faith, to encourage, to uplift. And then hopefully other people can use our examples. Even just if you don't even know that person, but if you do one kind thing, or if they see you not get upset when most people would have, or if they just see your faithfulness through a storm, whatever it is, and of course I'm saying, you may not literally ever know that you touched their lives, but realize that you are an example always. As soon as they know you're a Christian, you are an example, good or bad, of our Lord. And today I hope that you can follow Caleb's. I hope that you can keep in the back of your mind that there's a promise for us, that you have been given an inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. You share an inheritance with Christ Jesus. And if we continue to wholly follow the Lord with all of our hearts, we'll be able to cash in on that inheritance. And He's excited to give it to us. You know, I preached a couple of weeks ago. I said, don't stop on 6. Remember, we were going around and around. So what would happen if they went around Jericho and they stopped on the 6th lap and they didn't make it to the 7th? Don't get so discouraged in our journey and lose focus on what's important that we stop doing what we're supposed to do, or stop doing what's right. All right? Let's look to Caleb today. Let's draw from His strength. Let's draw from His focus. Let's take all the good from what He has as a character and apply it to our lives. If you would, pray with me. Lord, I thank You for the encouragement we have in these biblical figures, God. I just thank You so much for providing that for us so that we have an example to follow in all situations of life. Lord, I pray that we can faithfully follow You throughout our entire journey on this earth, so that one day we can cash that check of our inheritance, that one day we can be in Your presence for eternity. And God, we look forward to that. We hope in that. And God, I pray that as we live that, as we show that to our loved ones, as we show that to our strangers, that You would just be with us. You would encourage us and allow us to always point back to You, just as Your servant Caleb did. Just allow us to always give You the glory and to point back to You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning, it's my prayer that you can draw strength. You can draw encouragement from Caleb. Especially if you're in a time where things are just a little bit dark. I can guarantee you it could be worse. I can guarantee you that it could always be worse. And I just pray that today, that as you've heard the word and you've let it soak in, that you can apply this, that you can take this word and you can apply it to your life. It's a pretty simple idea. Just wholly follow the Lord. Wholly, with everything that you have. Follow God completely. Finish your race well, no matter where you are in life. Throw off anything that's hindering you from finishing at all. Finish well. Finish strong. So I'm going to have some of the guys come down here, and I'll be down here to pray with you. For whatever. It doesn't matter. We want to be here to lift you up, to encourage you, to praise God with you, or to intercede for you in Your name. So we're going to stand, we're going to sing another song, and we'll be up here to pray.